In his iconic I Have a Dream speech, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Let freedom ring," and listed places around the country, including Stone Mountain of Georgia. The 1963 audience knew the inclusion came with a footnote. For much of the 20th century, Stone Mountain was a symbol of the KKK. The group was reborn there 100 years ago. Stephanie Stokes reports.
From a side street in Stone Mountain Village, you can see the rounded summit of the Granite Mountain. Today, you can't really make out what's going on up top, but when the Ku Klux Klan assembled there in 1915, historian Paul Hudson suspects it would have been visible.
It was Thanksgiving night, and maybe people would come out, and if they were where we're standing now, on this rise, they could probably see a burning fiery cross.
The burning fiery cross was lit by William Simmons, an Atlanta man who Hudson says failed at everything. But then he came up with the idea to revive the Klan, a group that had disappeared for decades, and he planned the ceremony in strange detail.
Simmons had a sword, Civil War saber. There were various texts. There was the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence, and by the way, the Order of the Laws of the Ku Klux Klan.
It was an all-American affair, or that's how Simmons and his followers thought of it. They were inspired by a new film, Birth of a Nation, that depicted the first Klan as American saviors. But that original group was a racist band of vigilantes. This new Klan turns into something very different.
The Klan really becomes an organization, a mass organization, for the only time in U.S. history, and it is very much focused on white supremacy in the broadest sense.
Grace Hale is a professor at the University of Virginia. The Klan returns with a new message. It's not just going to terrorize blacks.
It's very much focused on attacking Jews and attacking Catholics and any people who are not Protestant Anglo-Saxons. So they become really equal opportunity haters and articulate a vision of America with themselves at the center.
While today we might remember the Ku Klux Klan as a radical terrorist group, this Klan grew to be part of mainstream culture. 4 million secret members nationwide, many in the North. And according to James Cobb, a University of Georgia professor, they weren't exactly from society's bottom rung.
It's striking where rosters of Klan membership in the 20s have been uncovered, that the rosters give you a kind of a list of the bankers and merchants and lawyers in town.
It was certainly the case in Atlanta, where business leaders saw the Klan as a way to control the racial structure. By the 1920s, the Klan had a veneer of respectability. It didn't promote lynch mobs, or at least not as its primary goal. It promoted morality, good citizenship, Americanism.
And once it got to be enough of a fixture in communities, it became sort of like not being able to get into the country club. You know, if you weren't in the Klan, people sort of wonder whether you're really on board with the whole idea of a community improvement or protection of community values.
Really, it was like putting lipstick on a pig, Cobb says. But it worked, partly because mistrust of immigrants, Jews, and Catholics was already there.
You know, the Klan people were very expert into tapping in both to the prejudices and the things that people didn't like, as well as the races, the people they were not disposed to like, but also their anxieties, what worried them.
In the late 20s, this Klan self-destructs after some high-profile scandals involving theft and rape. It will return a few times over the century, but the Klan would never infiltrate public life in the same way. And today, with a meager 4,000 members, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, it's easy to forget it ever did. Paul Hudson, who wrote a book about Stone Mountain, says it's especially easy to forget that history when standing on the granite rock where the modern Klan began.
You know, I love Stone Mountain, and it's interpreted so well. You know, the carving and the quarry exhibit and so many things. But there is this amnesia about the Ku Klux Klan as if it never existed.
Modern Atlanta seems happy to keep it that way. The Klan's connection with Stone Mountain officially ended when the state of Georgia took over the park in 1958. Stephanie Stokes, WABE News.